Well, I want to welcome everybody back. Thank you for coming. Good to have Susan with us, as always. We always love for Susan to be here. We're glad the kids are here with us. And I thank Bill for those songs. Bill, you did. I love those songs. And I have never seen you have what you call a new song and do bad. It's always good, brother. You always do a great job of leading our singing. I'm going to talk to you, as we've been doing the last three or four Sunday evenings and in Bible class on Sunday morning and on Wednesday evening, we've been talking about the book, the Bible. And I'm going to continue to do that for several more Sunday evenings and several more lessons on that on Sunday morning and Wednesday. There's nothing, we can't ever get to know the Bible well enough that we say, I don't need it anymore, because that is our roadmap to heaven. So I'm going to talk to you about this evening things you need to know about the Bible. Things you need to know about the Bible. And before we leave this building this evening, I want to pass out a copy of this sermon to everybody. You take it home with you, do whatever you want to, leave it here, read it, whatever. But I think you'll see what I'm talking about. It's very good. The Bible. There has never before been a book like it, and there will never, ever be a book like it. It is absolutely unique. A true Bible teacher recognizes that it is far more important for him to instill in his students the desire to study the Bible for themselves and the desire to search the Scriptures to see whether or not he has taught what is true, and then to merely declare to the class things that he has gleaned from his own study and expect them to accept it. So please, open your Bibles and follow along with me. A person may listen to 1,000 sermons. He may go to 2,000 Bible classes. But he will not have begun to show a proper respect for God's Word until he begins to study it for himself. How much does the average adult really know about the Bible? Very little indeed. How many are aware of its worth, of its importance, of its purpose, and of the treasure that it holds? Precious few. How many hold God's Word in the reverence that they should, or have the respect for it that they should have? Not very many. What I would like to do this evening is to talk about several things that all men need to know and believe about the Bible. But first of all, I want to take the negative side. Now, here are 10 commonly held misconceptions about the Bible that no person should believe. Understand that Satan is tickled to death when a person believes any one of these. First, there are many people who believe and teach that the Bible is a fraud, a deception, a book that only purports to be a divine revelation. This view makes the Bible the work of cunning of men. This is a view we often hear from the atheist and other such infidels. Secondly, there are those who believe and teach the Bible came entirely from the mind of man and is therefore purely the work of human wisdom. It would follow then that the Bible makes this false claims and is filled with numerous errors and contradictions because it is from the mind of man and is a work of antiquity. All who reject the divine inspiration of the Scriptures must take this position whether they like to or not. And third, there are still others who believe and teach that the Bible was written by honest and sincere men who mistakenly thought that God was communicating with them and was guiding them in their writing. This view would make the Bible the product of good but deluded men and would bring it down to the level of other so-called divine revelations. You know, there are many religious groups, even some who claim to worship Christ, who believe this about the Bible. Fourth, some believe and teach that the Bible is inspired in thought or in substance, but not in word. They believe that God provided the ideas and man supplied his own words. Again, with this view, we would expect to find numerous errors in the Bible, and we would have a great deal of difficulty arriving that the original thoughts came from God. In spite of this, many take this view of the Bible. And fifth, there are others who believe and teach that the Bible contains only part of the will of God. This is a position that is taken by many religious groups of today, such as the Mormons, who believe that there was another testament of Jesus Christ after the Bible, the Book of Mormon. The Catholics teach that more of the will of God is contained in tradition, preserved and passed down through the ages by the church. And still others say that the various prophets have existed since the completion of the Bible who have revealed additional parts of the will of God. Some say that God will be found in human reasoning, human experience, or in writings of great philosophers. The bottom line, they say, is that the Bible as we now have it is incomplete and inadequate to reveal God's will. Sixth point. There are others who believe and teach that the Bible as we have it is completely outmoded, out of date, archaic, and totally irrelevant for modern man. Seventh, some teach and believe that the Bible cannot be understood without the interpretation or explanation of the proper authorities or the right organization. The Roman Catholics point to the book called Teaching Magnetism, while the Jehovah's Witnesses point to the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society. Eighth, a very common misconception that many believe and teach is the Bible cannot be understood. It cannot be understood alike by honest men and women who are diligent students and are sincerely trying to understand it. So you can't understand it. This is a propaganda that has been accepted by most religious people, and that has discouraged many from even trying to read and understand the Bible. The ninth, yet again, still others believe and teach that the Bible is not authoritative. It is a good book, they'll say, but more of a loose general guide to living rather than a complete and absolute guide. And tenth and final, and then there were even some who believe that the Bible is a sacred book that is good to have around and will bless you and benefit you as long as you believe it is the Word of God. Brethren, this is almost makes the Bible into a talisman or a good luck charm. Now, I'm sure that there are others, misconceptions of the Bible, but these are 10 of the most common ones. Brethren and friends, it is important to realize that all 10 of them are wrong. All 10 of the views that we have mentioned originated in the mind of Satan, and in fact, that so many people believe one or more of these misguided views of the Scriptures is proof that Satan is still operating and trying to turn people from the truth. Now then, how about the positive side? I want to present to you this evening 7 things that all people need to know about the Bible, and brethren, we need to believe all 7. If we want to go to heaven when we die. First of all, mankind needs to believe that the Bible is the inspired word of God and that it is a revelation of God and His will unto man. The writers of it make the bold claim that they were writing under the direction of the Holy Spirit. Thus saith Jehovah, the word of the Lord came unto me. These kinds of statements are made over and over again. What they wrote did not come from the will of man. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1 with me. 2 Peter chapter 1. We'll read verses 20 and 21 when you get there. 2 Peter 1, verse 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Indeed, brethren, the very words found within his pages are not man's words, but the words given unto them by God. Now turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Paul makes this very point in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 12 and 13. He said in verse 12, "Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but by which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." And secondly, brethren, we all need to believe that the writers were honest men and reliable witnesses who told the truth, even when the truth was sometimes rather embarrassing to them personally. Such men were Moses and Joshua and Jeremiah and others in the Old Testament. Such men were Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Paul, James, Peter, and Jude, the writers of the New Testament. Let's go back to 2 Peter chapter 1. If you would. Let's read these stirring words of Peter. This time verses 16 through 18. "For we have not followed a cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And this voice which came from the heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount." Now let's look at 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. You probably remember John wrote in 1 John 1 and verse 1. 1 John 1 and verse 1. "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own, with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hand have handled, of the word of life." Third, we need to believe that the Bible is complete revelation of God's will to man, containing all that God has to say to us in this life, containing all that we need to know and all that we need to believe and all that we need to do. We must believe this about the Bible, brethren. We have to. We're told in 2 Timothy 3:16 that it thoroughly furnishes us to all good works. 2 Peter 1 and verse 3 tells us we have been given all things that pertain unto life and godliness. My friends, if it thoroughly furnishes us, and if we have been given all things that pertain unto life and godliness, then that's all there is. There is no more. The fourth point I'm going to make. We all need to believe that the Bible is still perfect, complete, and all-sufficient, even after the passing of 1900 years. Does God, being God, have the power to provide man with a guide that will be sufficient for all time to come? Does he have the power to preserve it by his providence? Well, yes, he does. Consider with me, if you will, 1 Peter again, chapter 1. 1 Peter 1. This time we'll read verses 23 through 25. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." That's the Bible. "For all flesh is as grass, and all of the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away." But listen to verse 25. "But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." And fifth, we all need to believe that the Bible is authoritative and binding upon us as an absolute standard. 2 John 9 shows us that this is true. Most of us know this by heart, but let's look at it anyway. 2 John 9. Most of us can quote this. John wrote Whosoever transgresses and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he is both the Father and the Son. That seems pretty plain, doesn't it? The Bible, if you have the Bible, if you have the Bible, he abides in you. If not, he does not abide in us. Six, we all need to believe that the Bible is understandable. This is where a lot of people get in trouble. That it is comprehensible. I've heard people say, I can't understand. I don't believe anybody can understand it. I just leave it up to my preacher or my priest and he'll tell me what I need to know. Does God have all power and is he therefore able to do all things? Yes, he is. Is the Bible the revelation of God, God's will to man? Yes. Can man then understand the Bible? What do you think? What do you think? Are we to conclude that God wasn't able to make his word understandable? Think of that. How ridiculous that is. Are we to believe that he chose not to make his word understandable? Who can believe such a thing? Let's read together Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, if you would. Ephesians 3, verses 1 through 4. Here's what Paul wrote. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you, word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. He said you can understand it. You can understand it. Now go to Ephesians 5 and verse 17. Paul said in Ephesians 5:17, wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So brethren, yes, the Bible can be understood by all. God is not the author of confusion. Sixth and finally, my friends, we all need to believe that the Bible is a perfect and complete guide to the individual in all relationships and circumstances of life. To the individual becoming and being a Christian, to congregations and all that they are to be and the things that they are to do. We need to believe that the Bible answers all our important questions and provides the solutions to all of our serious problems. We must fashion our homes, run our businesses, regulate our jobs, and conduct our very lives by it. It will guide us in being good husbands and wives and parents and citizens and friends and neighbors and brethren if we're Christians. The Bible is indeed the hope of the world, the communication of the Creator to His creatures. So do we reverence and respect it as the Word of God and give it the place in our hearts and in our lives as we should? Do we? Each one of us has to answer that question. So let me tell you something, my friends. It will never bless you until we do. But oh, how it will bless you when we do. Now I'm going to read you some things, enemies of the Bible. And this will not be part of what I'm passing out to you this evening. But you will get it later in another lesson. I want to talk to you about the enemies of the Bible. Sadly to say, there are some enemies of the Bible, and I want to name just a few by name. The Roman Catholics say that the Bible is incomplete and requires tradition. Well, let's go to Matthew, the 15th chapter. Matthew 15 and verse 6. Jesus says, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandments of God of none effect by your traditions. How did he make it of no effect? By traditions. Jesus said it is not incomplete and does not require tradition. By the way, the Catholic Church was established in 606 A.D. in the city of Rome, 600 years after the Bible was completed. So who are you going to believe? The Catholic Church or Jesus Christ? And the Lutherans. They say the Bible is faulty and leaves out essential words. Let's compare to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2:13. We read it earlier, but it's worth repeating. 1 Corinthians 2:13. Paul says, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual with spiritual. Note here now, the very words that the apostles spoke and wrote were chosen by God. You must believe that. Paul said it was not faulty. The Lutheran Church was established in Germany by a man named Martin Luther in 1520 A.D. So who are you going to believe? Martin Luther, a mere mortal man, or the Apostle Paul? And the Baptists say, this about the Bible. They say it's dead and it needs quickening. Well, come with me if you will. Let's compare what the Hebrew writes in Hebrews 4 and verse 12. Hebrews 4 and verse 12. Hebrew writer says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing sunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Holy Spirit said it is not dead and does not need quickening. So who are you going to believe? The Holy Spirit or the Baptist Church, which was started by a man by the name of John Smith in Holland in 1607, 1600 years after Jesus died. The Methodist Church, they say this about the Bible. They say it's indifferent and need not to be followed. Well, let's look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 14, see what Paul says. 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 14. Let's compare what Paul says, and he says, 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 14, if any man obey not our word by this epistle, he says, note that man, and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Paul said it is not indifferent and does need to be followed. So who are you going to believe? You going to believe the inspired Apostle Paul or another denomination which was started by a mortal man named John Wesley in England in 1739? Then there's the holiness. The holiness have this to say about the Bible. They say it's insufficient and needs miraculous accompanying today. We'll turn to Jude 3. Jude 3 takes care of that. Let's compare Jude 3 to what the holiness say. Jude 3 says, beloved, as Christians, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was when? Once delivered unto the saints. Once delivered unto the saints. So the inspired writer Jude says that the Bible is sufficient and it does not need miraculous accompaniment. He said the truth is once delivered for all time. He said it is perfect deposit, permanent deposit. It will never be superseded. It will never be amended. It will never be modified. He says the Bible is perfect, adequate, and complete. So who are you going to believe? The inspired writer Jude or the Holiness Church, which was established in 1890 in the United States. Then there's the Christian Church. The Christian church says it is tolerant and allows additions. Well, we read earlier 2 John 9, but let's go back and read it again. 2 John 9. Christian church says it is tolerant and allows traditions. But brethren, that is not what John says. He said in 2 John 9, whosoever transgresses and abideth not in the doctrine or the gospel of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine or the word of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. The Apostle John says it is not tolerant and does not allow additions as the Christian church suggests. By the way, did you know that the Christian church is only like 111 years old? It was established in 1908, officially. 1908, just a little over 100 years. So, who are they to tell the Apostle John that the Bible needs or allows for traditions or addition? And the skeptics say it is independable and it lacks good witnesses. But again, I want to go to John, the 19th chapter. The skeptics say is independable and lacks good witnesses. But the Apostle John says in John 19 and verse 35, and he, that's John, and he saw that it bare record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith true, that you might believe, he says. So, brethren and friends, you can see by the powerful hand of God, the Bible has been preserved, and it has been preserved in an atmosphere not conducive to its survival. It has been withstood. It has withstood every assault that has been made upon it by many enemies. Some of the mightiest powers that have ever existed have sought to destroy it, only to fail. Someone once said, what poor, guilty, fallen humanity craves for is a very different book. A book which tells of a remedy for hearts polluted with unholy imaginations. For the thief, the murderer, the reprobate, the outcast, for the tainted, this groaning, this travailing, and this sin-stained world. And such a book is the Bible. So that, my friends, there is no passage of Scripture that I know of that promises forgiveness of sins after death. And I say with Paul, now is the time. Now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. Watch your life, your words, and your activities, and your actions. Study. Again, study to know what God would have you to do. And when you sin, repent of it, and your Heavenly Father will forgive you. And if you're not a Christian, you're living in sin. And the only way you can become a Christian is by coming forward right now, repenting of your sin, confessing Jesus as the Son of God, and be baptized and immersed in water for the remission of your sins. If you're already a Christian and living in sin, you too need to come forward and let the brethren pray with you and pray for you so that your sins can be forgiven. I beg you to accept God's grace today and obey. Heaven awaits. Please listen to the words of this song that Bill's going to sing. Listen to these words and think about it. Why not tonight? Why don't you take care of whatever is bothering you tonight? If you're not a Christian, take care of that. If you are a Christian who is living in sin, you can take care of that. Do it tonight. Bill lead us in Why Not Tonight, one of my favorite songs. But why not tonight?